Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahavirayam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
You better with dogs? Or?
No.
No. Okay. Parakeets? Parakeets? You know, they're little dinky like parrots?
Oh, no.
Hamsters?
No animals.
No animals, yeah.
No animals, okay. Okay. So you always stay on this side of the fence, though?
Yeah.
Okay. Now that the dog's gone, so. So verses 39 to 43. So page 31, chapter 4, the four categories of universal annihilation. Summary. Sukadev Goswami continued. O best of the Kurus, I have related to you these narrations of the pastimes of Lord Narayana, the creator of this world and the ultimate reservoir of all existence, presenting them to you only in brief summary. Even Lord Brahma himself would be incapable of describing them entirely. For a person who is suffering in the fire of countless miseries, and who desires to cross the insurmountable ocean of material existence, there is no suitable boat except that of cultivating devotion to the transcendental taste for the narrations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's pastimes. Right. So, in other words, all the descriptions, all the discussions are just to get us to appreciate and accept this point. Right? That there's nothing else other than hearing about the glories of the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. All other processes, all these, that's not what's actually going to make everything happen. It's going to be this. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Long ago, this essential analogy of all the Puranas was spoken by the infallible Lord Naranarayan Rishi to Narada, who then repeated it to Krishna Dwaipayana Veda Vyas. Right? So that's why Naranarayan Rishi, they're considered the devatas of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Like that.
And also Bharata Varsha. And also Bharata Varsha. Bharata Varsha.
Bharat Varsha.
Canto 5 describes them as the other deities also Bharata Varsha. Naranarayan
Rishi. Oh, could be. Yes. Okay. My dear Maharaj Parikit, that great personality, Srila Vyasadeva, taught me this same scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is equal in stature to the four Vedas. O best of the Kurus, the same Suta Goswami, who is sitting before us, will speak this Bhagavatam to the sages assembled in the great sacrifice at Naimisharanya. So he's saying this will happen before it's happened.
Yes.
Right? This you will do when questioned by the members of the assembly headed by Shaunika. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur concludes, the topics of the Lord are the life-sustaining medicine for all types of devotees, and even for those desiring liberation. Even those who desire liberation cannot achieve liberation without these topics. That is described in verse 40. Right? Because Krishna is the one who gives liberation. So without his blessing, you're not going to get that, and you don't get his blessings without devotion. Or, this is the answer to the question you asked at the beginning, what should a dying person do? Right? Because he asks questions, means the sages ask six questions that describe, you know, the whole thing. Then those are being answered by Sutta Goswami, and at the same time as that's then being the discussion between Sukadeva Goswami and Pariket Maharaj. And then the question he asked, that's being described to the whole thing. So, in other words, someone must always hear and chant about the Lord's glories. Right? Other than food, there is nothing that can satisfy intolerable hunger. There is no other means for crossing material existence, such as jnana. That would be like giving a garland and sandalwood to a person suffering from hunger. This will be explained later. You should not accept jnana, by which I cover the great secret of bhakti, as the recommended process. Right? Because what's happening? When we're discussing too much the aspects of jnana, we're just looking at how the material world is illusion.
Yes.
Right? But it's also an energy of the Lord. But in that discussion, are we really looking at the detail of the devotion to the Lord? That's the whole point. So in other words, karma and jnana are useful in as much as they support the devotional process. So you see, is that's what Srila Prabhupada, whenever he's explaining these topics, he'll always have explained one point, then he'll bring it to Krishna. Then the next point, then bring it to Krishna. Yes?
We always say that neither jnana nor karma can work without bhakti.
Yes.
And this element bhakti, what does that mean?
It means devotion to the Lord.
Yeah, but if they have no devotion.
But, so if they have no devotion, it won't, the process won't work. They have to show some devotion, even if it's temporary. So because it's temporary, what was that? Arambavad?
Yeah.
You know, so what's our opinion on Arambavad? What do we take from, what do we call those things that are temporary? Right? They're false.
Yes.
So because their devotion will be temporary, they're not counted as devotees. But they still have to exercise bhakti for it to work.
But for example, if we don't take the Vedic path, like karma and jnana, all the rest of the world, they still follow those paths, but not exactly also as. But for
no, but still, they have. If they have some devotion to it, then it works to some degree. Because what are they going for? If they're not following the Vedic, it's ordinary, and ordinary means it's all about karma and jnana. Right?
But what's their part of love of God there? Devotion.
The point is who's developing it? Love for God. Who even talks about it?
Nobody.
Yeah, so that's the point. It's not effective. That's the point. It's not effective. So our point is that those activities that are effective, that's what should be followed. Because the point of religion is to develop love for God. So you should follow those aspects that develop love for God. So people will have respect for God, you know, they'll have that aspect of surrender, but it's also in exchange for getting material benefit, going to heaven, getting some, you know, something here, their child passing the exam, you know, their, you know, how you say, their grandfather not dying, you know, this kind of stuff. So they're showing that devotion, but as soon as grandfather's okay, are they showing that intensity of devotion? No, it stops. So that's what we're saying, is people are getting their benefit from showing that devotion. You know what I'm saying? And then if you take it down to the lower levels, then they have to show devotion to the particular knowledge and skill that they're applying, because the point is that knowledge and skill is Krishna. So when they show the devotion to it in the proper way, then Krishna reciprocates in that form only. Like if they're devoted to the pursuit of money, he'll only reciprocate as money, not as something else. Right? So you won't get him as a person. And then these others where they talk about the person, they'll show that devotion, but when the anxiety is over, then that devotion goes. You know, so because of its temporary nature, then we're considering it's not very strong. But at least they're accepting the person. But then the impersonalists and others, they're showing that devotion. That will get them to their desired goal. But once they get there, they'll give it up. You know, so we don't count them as devotees. They're karmis and jnanis. But still, without bhakti, it won't work. Is that something? Yeah. There has to be that devotion. Just like, you know, even in the ordinary sense, then sometimes you say, yes, he's very devoted to his work or devoted to a cause or something.
Yeah.
So it's because of that they're getting results, they're getting recognition, they're getting all these things. And as long as they, you know, they don't have that pride in that, it works. But as soon as that pride comes in, then you'll see, then it all just goes. You know what I'm saying? So the point is you can't get away from Krishna. Everything is Krishna, so therefore no one is getting any success in anything without its connection to Krishna. But they don't know it's connected to Krishna, therefore they don't get any devotional benefit. And even if they do know it's connected to Krishna, if it's not done to please Krishna, right? You know, as a person, means they're trying to please him, but they're not trying to actually him as a person please him. They're trying to please him as the boss so that they get what they want. That's still not considered devotion. But the point is that's how it works. Is that okay?
But Maharaj, we cannot have devotion without devotee.
No. It means without coming, it means you won't get, you have ordinary devotional service where it's not connected to the parampara, then you have sampradayak, which is. So when it is, that means then it carries that full chit potency. Otherwise, before that, it's basically, it's agyata sukriti. You know? It means it's connected to the Lord, they'll get some benefit. But you can see why it says it'll take lifetimes of agyata sukriti for them to surrender to Krishna. Because there's a little devotion here, fleeting there. You know, in one lifetime, if you think about it, okay, you take, let's say, you know, like your grandparents, okay? That how many times do they have that kind of full devotion? You know what I'm saying? You'll go back and there'll be moments here and there, but if you add up all those moments, you get, you know, some seconds, some minutes, some hours.
Yes.
Even if you get some days and weeks, but that's it. So lifetimes of that, then slowly, then they come in contact with devotees.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So.
And to speed.
Yes. So that's why the devotees go out and preach to try to speed up the process. Otherwise, if we leave it up to, you know, ourselves, we'll take it very, very slow. You know, don't want to be fanatic. You know.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the Yuga Dharma is chanting the holy name, and if it's not coming in a bona fide way or the parampara or sampradaya, it's not that.
You won't get spiritual benefit. They'll get material benefit. Like that. It means you're not going to have a more pious activity, but they won't get spiritual benefit. But because they're chanting that, they would be open to chanting with devotees or hearing from devotees. You know, it's just like, let's say, you have these individual, it means you have those that go to the yoga studios and sometimes they have these kirtan programs. And somebody connected with something, connected to India, has picked it up. And they'll even be chanting Hare Krishna. Right? But where they've gotten the whole hearing and chanting from is not from the sampradayas. You know, none of the four sampradayas. So, people will come, they'll chant, they'll be very happy chanting. But they're only getting material piety. But there's not going to be a better, more pious activity to do. Right? Now, will those people at that yoga studio be open to the devotees coming doing kirtan? So that's the advantage. But they could also go their whole life and not come in contact. So that's why the devotees go out and preach, because if you depend upon them to have the sukriti to actually get the benefit, you may have to wait a long time. So we see as Lord Chaitanya is impatient on this. So Rupa Goswami said, okay, we'll take care of it. And so the preaching mission is there.
Yes.
So we'll go out. We'll contact the yoga studio. We don't wait for the yoga studio to contact us. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
Regarding the Mahamantra, so like before coming to Krishna consciousness, I used to chant Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare Krishna. And then like after coming to Krishna consciousness, just the reverse. So then why is it that Lord Chaitanya, he introduced, you know, this method of chanting where this is majorly being chanted in this particular?
Why is he introduced chanting the Mahamantra from Hare Krishna first instead of Hare Rama first? Because, one, the Hare Krishna first, that's the original mantra. That's the original form. Because that's what they chant in Goloka. But when it comes down and comes through into the Vedas, then it's the other way. And then you have to be, you know, properly in the Vedic line and initiated and all those kind of things. Then it works.
Okay.
But if you're going to have the general public who's not, you know, having that connection, then you have to chant the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because there you're dealing with a Vedic mantra.
Mm-hmm.
So Vedic mantras won't work unless you have the adhikar, the qualification. But the transcendental mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra, it doesn't worry about these things. It's beyond. That's why we say there's no rules. But these others, there's rules.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to have taken your bath properly, this and that, and they're not just going out and just chanting. Right? You should not accept jnana by which I cover the great secret of bhakti as the recommended process. Right? In other words, it's as a support. It's not the main focus. Rasa in this verse means sweetness produced by the topics of the Lord's pastimes. One should not prescribe any other medicine except this nectar for persons suffering in the great fire of material life. Because other things, yoga and this and that, we might prescribe, but they won't really get any benefit. Does that make sense? Okay. One should study, hear, teach, and have others hear Srimad Bhagavatam following a pure, unbroken line of Guru Parampara. You know, so that's the essential point. Conclusion. When ahankar is destroyed, one realizes the Lord. Because right? Ahankar means the false identity that I am separate from the Lord. I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. So when you get rid of that, then you can realize the Lord. Otherwise, then it will be less. So to that degree that we give up this false ego, to that degree we start to realize the Lord. Right? That's the advantage of the spiritual path. The material path, when you get 100% success, then you get the benefit. But in the spiritual process, even if you have 1% success, you're getting 1% benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We know that spiritual life is based upon desire.
Mm-hmm.
And according to our Sukriti, Bhakti Sukriti previously, we have stronger or less strong desire. So what's our position now to improve that?
Association. Means the point is that at any point, since the soul is naturally the servant of Krishna, you can take up that desire. It's just a matter of wanting that. So how to get that? Because we may not, by our previous, some scars, we may not be so much inclined. So it's by association. That's how we take it seriously and take it up. Does that make sense?
He wants to give the clock.
Oh, he wants to give the clock.
It is the absolute truth alone who manifests in the forms of intelligence, the senses, and the objects of sense perception. So it means everything you're dealing with, it's the Lord alone who's manifesting as those. Right? But what's the point of that? By that, it may break down the material identity or material pursuit. But unless you understand, you take it further forward, that why the Lord is even doing that, Right? So it brings it to the person. Yes. Then only then you'll start to move forward very nicely in devotional service.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So that's the point. The path of jnana may weaken one's attachment to the material world, but it doesn't strengthen your attachment to Krishna.
Yes. Yes.
That's why bhakti has to be used. Jnana can only be a support for bhakti.
Yes.
It itself will not give bhakti. Right?
Maharaj, when you speak about jnana, we don't relate jnana to Bhagavan, to the person.
Yes. Means it's in connection with the person, but we're not, means with the philosophy and Krishna and all that, but we have to be, it's a matter of seeing it at how that develops devotion to Lord, to Krishna.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Yes.
So the in other words, karma and jnana are useful in as much as they bring about attraction to the Lord.
Yes.
But they are not useful otherwise. Right? In other words, it's not glorious on its own. That one's a great scholar and that doesn't have its own glory.
Yes.
Within the material context, yes. But within the spiritual, no.
Yes. Yes.
Because knowing Krishna, that's glorious.
Yes. Yes.
But that means as a person, in devotion. Yes. That's the knowing we're talking about.
Yes.
So, yeah. Yeah, okay. It is the absolute truth alone who manifests in the forms of intelligence, the senses, and the objects of sense perception, who is their ultimate basis. Therefore, whatever has a beginning and an end is insubstantial because of being an object perceived by limited senses, and because of being non-different from its own cause. Right? It's insubstantial because it's connected to Krishna. It's the connection to Krishna that is the value.
Yes, yes.
You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point. So on its own, it doesn't have a value. Because we're attributing a value to the material things and saying they have substance. But the substance is actually Krishna. So if you take away the substance, what's left? It's just the temporariness.
Yes.
Yeah. So how important is that? All material energies undergo transformation and are constantly, swiftly eroded by the mighty currents of time. Although perceived, the transformation of even a single atom of material nature has no ultimate definition without reference to the Supreme Lord. So all the transformations, everything that's happening, is all in connection with the Supreme Lord. Right? That's the real definition. Outside of that, there is no definition. We may have our own material definitions, but they don't have any substance, because all those things will move. Whatever you say today, tomorrow someone else will have a different opinion and everyone will go that way. So there's no substance. Right? But the connection with reference to the Lord, the connection to the Lord, that's what gives the creation, you know, the maintenance and destruction, and the nature of the soul, their attachment, non-attachment, all these things, that's all because of the reference to the Lord. So you see, that's what's special about Bhagavatam, is the reference is always to the Lord. Right? Mm-hmm. Yes.
And in other Puranas?
It will be there, but it's either called Sattvic Puranas. So it'll bring out the thing of performing duties and all that, accepting the position of the Lord. Because someone in the mode of goodness will always respect and worship the Lord. But whether they're doing that from the platform of pure devotion or not, that's something else.
So can we say that Bhagavatam is the main theme of Krishna?
Yes, it's pure devotion is the main thing. The other ones, the Vedic literatures are all referring to this. So, but it's called the Paramahamsa Samhita. It's written for those who appreciate pure devotion. Right? The other Puranas are written for those that are basically predominated by those particular modes. Not that the literatures themselves are within the modes. They're just written for that. Like let's say, you tell a story to an adult, but now you tell the same story to a child, you'll make adjustments. The theme will be the same, but what you'll emphasize and this and that and all these things, that will be different. So depending upon what they are, their mode, they'll emphasize things that are attractive to those in ignorance or passion or goodness. So someone in goodness is always going to worship the Lord. But now, whether it's going to be in pure devotion, Or it's just because that's the duty, that's what you're supposed to do. And which is glorious. That's why the Brahmins are always respected. Because their position is glorious. But then someone who's realized that Krishna is everything, right? That then is the next platform. That's a realized Brahmin. Then you have the levels of how you advance until you get to prema. So that's why the devotees are in a special position, even if they're not very advanced. They're still more advanced than a very qualified Brahmin, you know, on the material platform. Is that? Yeah.
Can you say that all the four sampradayas lay emphasis on Bhagavad Gita?
Do all four sampradayas? No. They'll all emphasize pure devotion, but not necessarily Bhagavatam.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think Ramanujacharya, Vishnu Purana, and Vishnu Dharmotra.
Mm-hmm.
Those are his main literatures from the Puranas.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they'll also put a lot of emphasis on Vedanta Sutra.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's giving the particular philosophy to, you know, bring us to that pure devotion.
Mm-hmm.
But even he does Vishnu Purana, he'll have his commentaries, and he'll always be discussing pure devotion.
Mm-hmm.
It works very good for Bhagavatam is the Chinta Beta Beta Tattva. So if you want to present Vishishta Dvaita, then something else will work better.
Yes.
So Vishnu Purana works very nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they don't appreciate Bhagavatam and study Bhagavatam, it's just not necessarily their prominent literature. So our book is Bhagavatam. Like that. When the illusory false ego that binds the soul has been thus cut off with a sword of discriminating knowledge, and one has developed realization of the Supreme Soul, this is called adyantika, or ultimate annihilation of material existence. Right? So, having cut off with the sword of discriminating knowledge, the false ego, right? Then that will be, you know, you could say liberation, but when one has developed realization of the Supreme Soul, this is ultimate liberation. Right? Because the other, you may be back.
Yes.
But like that, yeah, right, yeah. Straight through the front window, right?
So devotional service is basically aiming for authentic liberation.
It's not interested in just kind of up to liberation, like a little blip, and then back down into the material world. Right? Chapter 5, Sukadev Goswami's final instructions to Maharaj Parikit. Pratigya. By constantly meditating upon the Supreme Lord, Vasudeva, and by applying clear and logical intelligence, one should carefully consider one's true self and how it is situated within the material body. Adhyaya Prakashika. In the fifth chapter, Sukadev teaches Parikit about Brahman in order to hide the real meaning of Bhagavatam. Shout out to Darshani 12.5.1.
He has to hide it.
Why not? Krishna hid it in Gyan, so he's hiding it here. Means he brings out that these elements are here, but the point is that then you always have to take it beyond that to devotion. Because these are tools that are used, but the point is that it's about bhakti. You know, one has to bring it to bhakti. This chapter explains how King Parikit's fear of death from the snake bird Takshaka was averted by Sukadev Goswami's brief instructions on the absolute truth. Right, so this fear of death, you conquer that by discriminating intelligence. But the point is then there's developing love of God. That's beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so if you're so absorbed in fear, you're not going to be necessarily absorbed in devotional things. So
yes. The
gyan then removes that fear. Then one can now...
Yes.
Again, practice bhakti. So that's the thing. It's a tool.
Yes.
But itself will not give the result. We'll say, but without it, you can't know. Bhakti is independent.
Yes.
We always have to be very, very careful that there is nothing that will give bhakti except bhakti. But the more we're conditioned, the more we're attached, then the more these secondary rules are favorable. because they regulate, they engage, you connect to the Lord. So it's all good. But as one advances, then one sees that actually the essence is just the devotion. Right? So then these external aspects are just done. That's what maintains the body. Right? Varnashram maintains the body. That's what it does. But it maintains the body in the mode of goodness. So that from mode of goodness, you can get to pure goodness. So that's why it's recommended. Right? Plus, it can accommodate those who are in passion and ignorance. And bring them to that goodness, so like that. So that's the excellence of the system. But it's not that Varnashram or Jnana, these are going to produce bhakti. But they're very useful for someone to engage in the process of devotional service, especially as they have more and more, you know, material, how you say, identity. Does that make sense? So from our platform, from the, you know, the Western environment, then, how you say, Varnashram is up. But from the platform of pure devotion, it's down.
Agreed. Agreed.
What, the cat said something?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He said, wow.
Okay. He's thinking, that's why I'm a cat. Okay. This chapter explains how King... Okay. Having in the last chapter described the four processes of annihilation that act in this material world, Srila Sukadeva Goswami now reminds Pariksit Maharaj how he had previously in the third canto discussed the measurement of time and the various millennia of universal history. During a single day of Lord Brahma, constituting 1,000 cycles of four ages, 14 different manus rule and die. Thus death is unavoidable for every embodied being. But the soul itself never dies, being entirely distinct from the material body. Sri Sukadev Goswami, okay, that's just one of the, here's the bird, the deep, you know. Sri Sukadev Goswami then states that in Srimad Bhagavatam, he has repeatedly chanted the glories of the Supreme Soul, Lord Sri Hari, from whose satisfaction Brahma takes birth, and from whose anger Rudra is born. The idea, quote, I will die, end quote, is simply the mentality of animals. Because the soul does not undergo the bodily phases of previous non-existence, birth, existence, and death. When the body's subtle mental covering is destroyed by transcendental knowledge, the soul within the body again exhibits his original identity. Just as the so we're covered by these mental identities. When we give those up and just identify as Krishna's servant,
yes,
then that brings us to the transcendental position.
Yes, yes.
Right? Because that's the nature. The original position, I'm servant of Krishna. Just as the temporal existence of a lamp comes about by the combination of oil, the vessel, the wick, and the fire, the material body comes about by the amalgamation of the three modes of nature. The material body appears at birth, displays life for some time. Finally, the combination of material modes dissolves, and the body undergoes death, a phenomena similar to the extinguishing of a lamp. Sukadeva addresses the king, saying, quote, you should fix yourself in meditation upon Lord Vasudeva, and thus the bite of the snake bird will not affect you. Right? So he's using jnana to bring him to the point where he can appreciate the pure devotion. Right? Because they were too distracted by the material. So it's either by jnana you just put it aside, or you engage karma and connect it to the Lord, and that way get purified. But at some point, then it has to be, it's the pure devotion, right? So it reverses, right? In the beginning, I have attachments, I'm connecting those attachments to Krishna. But then it has to reverse what's about Krishna, and then we engage in service. And so I can engage in service according to my psychophysical nature. Does that make sense? Yes.
Before, the service with this working senses was very much stressed.
Yes.
And nowadays, many devotees, they go into, you know, study, or prolonged study, let's say. So what would be the proper balance for an adult, you know, between study the scripture and do, you know, practical devotional service?
It's a matter of you study, and then you contemplate that and try to apply that into your life. So whatever points are coming up, you think about them. So it's not just volume of reading, right? It's a matter of contemplating what you've read. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But if we find that we don't contemplate what we've read, then better to read volume, because then we're always associating with the Lord.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the point is, or if we see that by reading, then we can be absorbed in that, then that's even better. Does that make sense? So we're not just reading mechanically because it's something to do, but we're reading because we appreciate, we relish hearing about the Lord. But the point is to apply it in the life, because we're not trying to become scholars. Does that make sense? Because the scholarship won't take you back to Godhead. Devotion will. But having proper discriminating knowledge, as he said, that will help one not get entangled in the material life. So it's a value in that it helps reduce our material attachment. That's the value. Makes sense. But as far as it delivering devotion, it won't. Right? We know we're not the body. Okay. You know, we're the soul. Okay. But the soul is servant of Krishna. Now, that point, that will give you devotion. But to accept that the soul is servant of Krishna and not something else, we may have to have agreed to the point that we're the soul, not the body. You understand? Because
yeah.
If I just say, you're a devotee of Krishna, you say, what do you mean? I'm this, I'm that, I have so much. No, but so therefore knowledge is used to bring about an appreciation of the devotional position. Then we can take advantage of it. Does that make sense? So even if we haven't realized the devotional position, if the knowledge is being used in pursuance of the devotional position, then that's always good. Then it's fine. So it's useful, but it's not actually the process. So you have to see that in using it, you don't lose sight of the devotion. So, yeah. But it's not that if we're scholars, then we'll be able to convince people and this and that. That's not how it's working. You know what I'm saying? It's realization is what impresses people. Conviction is what impresses people. So even if you're convinced of one point in Krishna consciousness, you preach that, it will affect others' lives. So it's not volume of knowledge. It's not volume of facts. It's that contemplation and application in your life. Because people want to know what to do with their life, and if you're not using Krishna consciousness in your life, in your own life, then how will it be of value in their life? But if you're using it in your life, then when they hear it from you, they'll be able to apply it in their life, and you'll be able to change their life. Right? Otherwise, if it's just knowledge and all that, then why listen to us? We're not that great. There are people out there that are fantastic orators. When they speak, it's impressive. But it doesn't mean that what they're speaking is of any value. Right? Just as a historical context, Hitler was considered a great orator. I mean, he had tens of millions of people completely infatuated. But it's not that what he had to say was of actually of much value.
It wasn't.
Just trying to be nice.
Interesting. He wrote himself their speeches? we had some speech writers.
No, I think he spoke. I think he just spoke himself.
And he wrote in the prison.
Yeah, he wrote his book in the prison. He has like a name this long, you know, huge name about this and that. And the printer said, "No, it's not happening. We're just, you know, he just made it down to what's it,
mein Kampf,
you know, my complaint or something, or
my fight,
yeah." Like that. So whatever. So it's yeah. No, he would just speak himself. I know. He'd foam at the mouth. You know, the whole thing. He was very enthusiastic. Like that. But technically, foaming at the mouth just means you're not drinking enough water. See, if you drink enough water, you won't foam at the mouth. Does that make sense? So that's important, is that he's trying to show, if you fix yourself in meditation upon Lord Vishnu, thus the bite of the snake bird will not affect you. Not that by fixing your mind in meditation on Lord Vishnu, the snake bite won't bite him. That's happening. Right? You know, it's just, it won't affect him. He'll always be absorbed. But to get him to accept this, then he's giving these intellectual platforms to show you're not the body, you're the soul. Does that make sense? It's like a tool. The tool is useful, but we always have to remember it's a tool. The pots and pans are tools we use for cooking, but we always have to remember they're only in support of cooking. On their own, they do nothing. Does that make sense? You know, if I take the spoon and move it around in the air, it's not that something's accomplished. Right? The cooking process, then they're supportive of that. So you always have to be able to see what's primary and what's secondary. If we try to, like we were discussing before, try to make the secondary more prominent, that's what keeps us in the material world. Right? We're here because we took the secondary as prominent, rather than Krishna as prominent. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, that actually Arjuna, Uddhava, they all develop important knowledge and go to bhakti.
Yes, yes.
Their life, you know, but their knowledge is always realized knowledge.
Yes, because they contemplate. They remember what they've heard from Krishna.
Yes, yes.
That contemplation is the important part. That you've studied, that's good. And to be absorbed, it's because you're hearing and chanting about Krishna. That's what's important. Right? But the point is that contemplation, that's what's then going to bring about realization.
Yes.
The purpose of knowledge is just to get us to the platform of prema. Then we don't use it anymore.
No, it's actually just to get us to the platform of liberation.
Okay.
Bhava will get you to prema. Right? It means sadhana will get you to bhava, and bhava will get you to prema. So therefore, the karma and jnana is supportive of sadhana bhakti. But you have to understand, it doesn't make sadhana bhakti. It doesn't create. It won't get you. It won't get you to bhava. So, Shloka Anusharana, verses 1-13. Wow, I was going to say only 13 verses, but commentary. Whoa,
yes,
that's
yes.
Serious.
Yes.
Okay. I was wondering, why is such a big chapter? Because in commentaries. Verses 1 to 13, Sukadeva Goswami's final instructions to Maharaj Parikit. Sukadeva Goswami said, "The Srimad Bhagavatam was elaborately described in various narrations, or has elaborately described in various narrations, the supreme soul of all that be, the personality of Godhead, Hari, from whose satisfaction Brahma is born, and from whose anger Rudra takes birth." Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments. Having completed the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami considered the matter within himself. Right? So basically you could say up to this point, now all the storyline of the Srimad Bhagavatam is now finished, is complete. Right? So now there'll be some final points that he says there. Then after the two of them go, then Sutta Goswami will say some things, some questions to the sages, and it'll end, just like in the beginning.
Yes.
You have a whole canto that's there, so in here you'll have half a canto. You know, that ends like that. So Sukadev Goswami considered the matter within himself. Ah, it is proper that I have disclosed from my heart the great jewel among secrets and made it visible to all people. The Lord has said that this bhakti is the king of knowledge and the king of secrets. Rajavidya Rajaguhyam, Bhagavad Gita 9.2. In this scripture I have explicitly revealed out of great mercy to Parikit a subject which is the most secret, Sarva Guhyatamam, Bhagavad Gita 18.64. I have shown that bhakti awards all results both by negative and positive statements. Right, so you see, the principles of the Gita, because the Gita is the basis, the fundaments of spiritual life. Bhagavatam is simply explaining those in connection with the Lord and his devotees in those pastimes. That's what makes it there. But the knowledge is the same. Right? Quote, the person desiring destruction of all desires, the person with all desires, even the person with the intense desire for liberation, if he has good intelligence, will worship the Supreme Lord with pure bhakti. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10. Right? So, in other words, whatever you want, you worship the Lord with pure bhakti, anything is available. But, then the thing is pointed out, is that anything's available through the pure bhakti, but the pure bhakti can also award prema, which is so much greater than any of these others. So, for the same endeavor, why not take up the endeavor for prema?
Yes.
And give up the desire for karma and jnana?
Yes.
Right? But, even you want those, this is the way to get it. Quote, each of the four social orders headed by the brahmanas was born through different combinations of the modes of nature, from the face, arms, thighs, and feet of the Supreme Lord in his universal form, along with the ashramas. If any of the members of the four varnas and four ashramas fail to worship the Lord, who is the source of their own creation, they will fall down from their ashrama. Right? So if one doesn't, then one will fall from that position. Karma, which bestows swarga, is definitely rejected. And famous jnana, which bestows liberation, is rejected. Right? So neither of these are of, how you say, substance. Quote, even the stage of jnana without the bondage of karma is not glorious because it is devoid of bhakti to the Supreme Lord. What is the use of having destroyed ignorance? What to speak of sakam karma, which is suffering during practice and perfection, and nishkam karma when not offered to the Lord? But you destroyed ignorance, whoopee, you're still in the material world. Right, because you're only getting rid of that false ego and ignorance, but that avidya, that you don't know your position with the Lord, that still remains.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So, when it's offered to the Lord, then it becomes a value. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.12. Even jnani sannyasis are rejected in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.3, quoted above. Practicing a tradition of jnana without bhakti will not produce liberation. It just won't. Right? Oh, lotus-eyed Lord means they will say it will, but people say so many things. They say, you get this, you'll be happy. You know, if you have money, you'll be happy. You know, it's like, you know. Oh, lotus-eyed Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated, their intelligence is impure. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32, right? So the demigods are saying that. So, you know, they watch them, you know, going up, and then they watch them coming back down. You know. Since one attains liberation by bhakti without performance of jnana is not the exclusive process for attaining liberation. So someone who performs just bhakti without jnana will be liberated.
Yes.
So therefore, jnana is not giving the liberation. If it's useful, you use it. But if it's not, you don't. That's all. So, yeah. Everything that can be achieved by fruit of activities, penance, knowledge, detachment, mystic yoga, charity, religious duties, and all other means of perfecting life is easily achieved by my devotee through loving service unto me. If somehow or another my devotee desires promotion to heaven, liberation, or residence in my abode, he easily achieves such benedictions. Srimad Bhagavatam 11, 20, 32, and 33. One may protest that jnana is well known for producing liberation, right? You know, just like it's, one may protest that, you know, money is well known for producing happiness. You know, it's the same, how you say, stature of authority. One should, however, understand that the bhakti within jnana, though acting as minor element, produces liberation. But the path of jnana doesn't produce the liberation. It's the bhakti that's the minor element within it. Right? Because for them, the whole process of jnana, that's what gives them, that's what they're thinking is giving the liberation. But it's that small amount of bhakti that is there in the process, that's what actually awards the liberation. But because they're attached to the process of jnana, they will think it's the jnana that's doing it. When it's not, actually.
So they achieve great results, you know, with minor bhakti.
Yes, so, because that means, in one sense, we can say it's great results from the material platform, then of all results, liberation is considered the greatest.
Mm.
But when you're looking at it from the platform of the soul, liberation is, the grass in Vrindavan is liberated. You know what I'm saying? It's just the dust is liberated. It's like, you know, yeah. The jnana is a producer of liberation in name only. Even performing jnana along with bhakti for liberation is not recommended. Bhaktyaham ekaya grahya. I am only achieved by bhakti. So it's not even necessary. But people who are attached and identifying the material platform, they're either going to take karma or jnana.
Yes.
So if they're going to take jnana, then they'll get what, but it's because of the bhakti. So if they have more sukriti, then they'll just accept that it's the bhakti. Right? And quote, these women have never undergone the purificatory rites of the twice-born classes, nor have they lived as brahmacharis in the ashram of a spiritual master, nor have they executed austerities, speculated on the nature of the self, followed the formalities of cleanliness, or engaged in pious rituals. Srimad Bhagavatam 10, 23, 43. Right? But they're on the topmost platform of prema.
Yes.
So that's the point, is none of these aspects of karma and jnana give bhakti.
Yes.
Right? But depending on the stage in your life, they may be useful.
Mm-hmm.
But they themselves are not the one that gives. Right? So it's like it says here, it said there, jnana is a producer of liberation in name only. So when we say that any secondary aspect is very important, without it things aren't going to go well, that's just a name only. It's because of our attachments, therefore we are thinking like that. Because we want to engage in that activity.
Yes.
And so we're willing to engage that activity in Krishna's service. So for us, it may be true. Yes, without that we won't be engaged in bhakti. But bhakti doesn't require it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, it's just like before you do something, you know, like you have the cliche is the person is going to do something and then they take, you know, they crack their knuckles and do a few things. Like, he doesn't need any of that. You can just take it and, you know, move the switch. That's all it takes.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't require any karma or jnana, but we do it because it makes us feel good. No? Quote, what is the use of yoga, shankhya, sannyas, study of the Vedas, other auspicious acts, in which the Lord does not give realization of himself. So if by those things you don't get realization of the Lord, what's the point? Srimad Bhagavatam 4:21-12. The practice of bhakti is recommended through upakrama, proposal, upasamhara, conclusion, and abhyasa, repetition. Right? Yeah, so when you say practice, it means repetition. That's why it's called abhyas, right? Including jnana and yoga here and there in the text is only to teach the devotees about these philosophies and to show the superiority of bhakti. By performing even a small amount of bhakti, one gains liberation. Quote, by hearing or chanting your name, by offering respects to you, by occasional remembrance of you, even the dog eater immediately becomes qualified for performing the soma sacrifice. O Lord, what then to speak of the person who sees you? Srimad Bhagavatam 3:33-6. Right, so here is that by surrendering to the Lord, you become qualified to be engaged in whatever activity. So even this, the soma yajna. Because so this means the soma yajna is going to be a higher yajna than the regular thing. Someone's a dwija, they can do the regular standard yajnas. But you have to be dwija to do these soma yajnas. Right? So a dog eater who's absorbed in Krishna, they actually are qualified to perform those. Right? Does that make sense? They may not know technically how to do, but as far as their standard of purity, because the person's on the platform of dwija, they have to be more pure than those on the platform of dwija. So he's on that platform of purity. Right? Now if he wants to learn all those, then he could do, but not that the others will accept it, but the point is that, you know, he's technically qualified. But as a devotee, then who wants to do a soma yajna anyway? Right? How astonishing, the outcast on the tip of whose tongue is your name is the guru. All those who chant your name, most respectable, have completed all austerities, all sacrifices, all bathing, and all study of the Vedas. Probably our most respectable. Otherwise, the most respectable doesn't really have a lot of meaning. So 3:33-7. Quote, O Lord, nothing is impossible for you. Just from seeing you, all my sins have been destroyed. By hearing one of your names once, even the outcast is delivered from the material world. Right, so if we're using the example of the outcast, right, which means generally they're so sinful. Right, so in other words, you have within the Varnashram system those within goodness, passion, and ignorance. Right, and then they can function because they can follow. Those who are even lower, that they can't even follow the rules, of so much ignorance and passion like that. Then the outcasts, but them by hearing about the Lord, just once, just chanting, they become qualified to take up the process. That's the thing. Bhakti qualifies you for the process. The other things, you have to have the material qualifications. Karma and jnana, if you don't have a lot of the mode of goodness, the ability to study, the ability to perform, you know, very nice work, steady work, you can't actually engage in them. Does that make sense? So it's by bhakti that if there is at all an engagement, it's through that. Does that make sense? It has been concluded by Uddhava and me that there is no other process of liberation from samsara except bhakti. Right? Here. So I forgot to bring mine. Oh, I see. Everyone lost interest because it's only down to the...
I know.
Down to those ones. Okay. But no one noticed this? Everyone's cultured. Okay, well, that's good.
Check out.
Now there's an inch. I was thinking, why is it not out there? Not, oh, okay. It's only the mint ones left. Right? Yeah, no, they were. But there was only mint inside.
We can discriminate.
Yes, yes. Yes, that's what it said in the beginning by that discrimination. What is this? By applying clear and logical intelligence. Yes.
Take on the bacteria.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yes, okay. Oh, because mint is cooling, so cool means it's that dry renunciation and all that.
Yeah, ginger.
Yeah, yeah, okay, like that. But then the honey, then that's the prema. Okay, I get it, okay. The funny thing is, there are, as we said, orators that they do talk like this. Yes. They bring these things up and make it sound really, yeah. Okay. My dear Lord, for one who is being cruelly burned in the blazing fire of material miseries, having fallen into the network of material existence, I do not see any other possibility, any other possible shelter besides your two lotus feet, which are a shower of nectar extinguishing the fire of suffering. Right, so we see here is constantly quoting from so many places in the Bhagavatam, it's just about bhakti. It's been brought up in the context, but in the context generally of karma and jnana. And we're accepting. So we see when we come into the 11th canto, then Krishna's breaking that down. It's always been inferred all the way along, because now reading this, now we understand what it's saying here. But these points have been made the whole time, right from the beginning, from the first canto. Okay. Quote, for a person who is suffering in the fire of countless miseries and who desires to cross the insurmountable ocean of material existence, there's no suitable boat except cultivating the nectar of the narrations of the Supreme Lord's pastimes. 12.4.40. Sukadeva Goswami continued thinking, and in the following verses, liberation is derided as the goal of life, and bhakti is established by me as the crown jewel of human goals. Quote, the why, so in other words, it's a spoiler alert here. He is going to deride beyond, so if anybody is going to get upset, he has already said that that's what's going to happen. The wise, suffering from various calamities of material life, continually bathe themselves in the lake of bhakti, and because of its intense bliss, they do not strive for liberation. The highest goal, which comes of its own accord, since they have attained everything by being the servants of the Lord. Right, so on the material platform, liberation is the highest goal, but it comes on its own accord. It's a side thing that comes along with the bliss of bhakti. Right? So that's actually where Brahmananda is. It's actually Premananda. You know, you're situated on the Brahman platform, but it's prema that gives that intense bliss. Because if Brahman was the intense bliss, then why does Krishna expand, you know, his energies for rasa? Because he's already Atmaram. By those processes, those human beings who have actually surrendered themselves to me automatically develop love for me. What other purpose or goal could remain for my devotee? Srimad Bhagavatam 11:19-24. Quote, my Lord, some fortunate souls have gotten relief from the fatigue of material life by diving into the vast nectar ocean of your pastimes, which you enact when you manifest your personal forms to propagate the unfathomable science of the self. Though these rare souls, indifferent even to liberation, renounce the happiness of home and family because of their association with devotees, were like flocks of swans enjoying at the lotus at the lotus of your feet. Right? Because swans, then they always enjoy, you know, entangling their necks in the lotus stems. Like that. So renounce the happiness of home and family. So that can either mean they're not staying in the home with the family, or it can mean they're not interested in material enjoyment that comes from performing activities in the home and with the family. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. quote, the bliss, that's 10:87:21. The bliss for your servant available from meditating on your lotus feet or from hearing about your pastimes from the devotees is not available in your form of greatness. Brahman, what to speak of the happiness for those who fall from the pleasures of Swarga? Right, so your form of greatness. So that the Brahman is the Mahan.
Yes, right? Yes.
So they're not interested in that. Let alone those who fall from the pleasures of Swarga. Right? So you can see it's just from that Gyan aspect. Because you think, oh, you attain Swarga. No, you fall from Swarga. Srimad Bhagavatam 4:9:10. Quote, devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of Narayana never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. Mm-hmm. Srimad Bhagavatam 6:17:28. So it's just a matter of serving Krishna. That's all. What's favorable to serving Krishna, that's what you do. But otherwise, these other situations, that's just the way it is.
Yes.
You know, it's not, you can't really do anything about them. Sukadeva Goswami continued thinking, the authority of the words of other sages is relative, but the authority of my words is absolute. Let those words be famous everywhere, even in Vaikuntha. Right? Because these other sages, if they're not speaking on pure bhakti, then it's not absolute. But Sukadeva Goswami, because he's speaking on pure bhakti, because that's what he's heard from his father.
Yes.
Right? Krishna also came. Remember, he was in the womb, Krishna came trying to convince him, you know, because he had, you know, only guaranteed if he would be remain on the transcendental position. You know, so. However, the Lord prefers some matters to be secret. Right? So the point is if you want to know, then you'll hear from the authorities and then you'll move forward. But otherwise, if you want to get into these other things, then you leave it. Does that make sense? If someone has something that's the most special and people aren't interested, they're interested in something less, you know, you may try to convince them. If they're not, you just let them go with that. Let it be. Because then the problem is that because you're going to have that mentality, then people are going to offend the topmost process. Right? So therefore, if you want to hear about it, it's available.
It is the same principle of reciprocation.
Yes, yes.
Like Krishna and the
living. Yeah, yeah. I was just thinking here is that Kat has a very nice situation. It's more worried about the relationship. You know, you're not there. You're gone. So that's, you know, what's the point of being, you know, wrapped up in a nice blanket if no one's there?
I'm thinking this is like my disciple.
Yeah. I mean, I think we were maybe on the Polish tour. I think Maharaj there initiated a cricket. Or a grasshopper, yeah. They were sitting there chanting japa, and this grasshopper comes and lands on his finger while he's chanting. So, you know, he instructed him in transcendental science and all these things like that, and gave him his spiritual name, like that.
All happened in 1 second?
The grasshopper stayed there for a while. You know, not too long. You know, and then disappeared. So what happened to that grasshopper? We don't know. But. So. The Vedas, divided into three divisions, ultimately reveal the living entity as pure spirit, soul. The Vedic seers and mantras, however, express their meaning secretly, and I also am pleased by hiding those descriptions. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:87:2. Right, so it's a matter of, if someone's interested, then it's revealed. But if not, then it won't be.
Say that even the revelation is possible only by the mercy of Guru and not on one's own endeavors.
Yes. It's only by coming in contact with the bona fide devotees. Bhakti doesn't come from anywhere else. Right? So this idea is, no, I'm very scholarly and I studied and that's why I came to... No, it's because you contacted the devotees. You may have used scholarship by engaging your nature, right, in contact with the devotees, but it's the contact of the devotees that gives the results. Certainly so. Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami continued thinking, since I have revealed the greatest secret, I have become not so dear to the Lord. What shall I do now? I have finished speaking the Purana. Let that be. Now I'll try to hide the great secret of bhakti. Okay, because we were running before. Why is he doing this? Someone may impetuously show off a great secret jewel to all people, and then, considering the matter, hide it in a box and place it in his treasure vault. He shows off another jewel, praising it as the ultimate jewel. Thus now I will teach jnana to King Parikit, so that people will think Sukadeva is teaching Parikit jnana. By the influence of the Lord's maya, they will think that jnana is ultimate and bhakti is only a means to attain jnana. Right? So for the materialistic people, that's how they'll think. But for the devotees, then they won't think like that.
Because even if jnana is spoken towards the end, then others will think that that's the conclusion of the entire Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Give the same in
Gita. Means they're useful tools in support of bhakti. In other words, all that whatever's being explained before in the 11th canto, the technical points, or in the Kapila Gita and in the end of Bhagavad Gita, they're all useful in supporting devotional service. But it's the devotion itself that's the actual point. Certainly sense. Like that.
Maharaj, how can we know that without Vishwanatha Charita Thakur and the Acharya?
We can't.
Because the verse does not, the relation is not so evident.
That's why we hear from the Acharyas. Right? So that's why you approach your through your Acharya. So what we've heard from Prabhupada, that mood, that's how then we see the Acharyas. But without the Acharyas, we won't know. That's the point of the parampara. By the influence of the Lord's maya, they will think that jnana is ultimate and bhakti is only a means to attain jnana. Right? So they'll engage in bhakti, but only as a means to get jnana.
Yes.
The Lord sometimes appears before the perfected devotees and tests them by offering them liberation. I will test the development of bhakti in my disciple Parikit by teaching him jnana. Right? Because you see, the Lord Nrisimhadeva offered Prahlad all this. Yes. All of them he offers, and then they'd say no. Yes. And so Krishna's happy. The wise should know that this test is for the purpose of announcing to the world the steadiness of Parikit's bhakti.
Yes.
The ignorant people will explain that the result of bhakti and jnana is only liberation. But one should understand that this is not my intention, because I have said that compared to liberation, bhakti is much greater. Right, he said all this, but he's just covering it for those who are materialistic. O King Parikit, Krishna was the protector, instructor, object of worship, giver of affection, and leader of both clans. But he was sometimes your servant. The Lord gives liberation, but not bhava bhakti, to those who worship him. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.6.18. Sukadeva Goswami continued thinking. One should not fear that Parikit will attain impersonal liberation by the jnana which I will teach. Sutta, my disciple, has understood my intentions and will later express them. Right, so we'll see is that it'll continue on from there. Parikit, the great devotee, with pure intelligence, attained liberation in the form of the feet of the Lord, who possesses a flag marked with Garuda, through knowledge spoken by Sukadeva. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.18.16. Right? So, Sutta Goswami has already expressed, he attained pure devotion by the instruction. So we don't have to worry that there's a distraction. I have also indicated in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.6.18 that Parikrit will attain Prema Bhakti. Realization of Brahman cannot be achieved by these teachings of the Atma, which is separate from body. The Lord has said that bhakti conquers jnana. Therefore, material substance, place, result of activity, time, knowledge, work, the performer of work, faith, state of consciousness, species of life, and destination after death are all based on the three modes of material nature. Mm-hmm. O best of human beings, all states of material being are related to the interaction of the enjoying soul and the material nature. Whether seen, heard of, or only conceived within the mind, they are, without exception, constituted of the three modes, of the modes of nature. Mm-hmm. O gentle Uddhava, all these items are related to the gunas and karma, are causes of samsara. The living entity conquers these gunas, manifested from the mind by bhakti yoga. Dedicated only to me, he surrenders and attains a loving relationship to me. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:25-30-32. Mm-hmm. The devotee does not have any desire for liberation, the goal of jnana. The Lord himself says this. Quote, through analytic study, ritualistic work, mystic yoga, mundane business, and political rule, people seek to advance in religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. But because you are my devotee, whatever men can accomplish in these multifarious ways, you will very easily find within me. Because everything's coming from him. It's already there in Krishna. But he's interested in Krishna, not in obtaining those things, right? Srimad Bhagavatam 11:29-33. Sukadeva Goswami continued thinking. Finally, I will produce a work including the teachings of jnana, which will be like Mohini Avatar, with different faces for different people, so that the demons will be cheated from drinking the nectar. In teaching about jnana, I will utter words first with one meaning and then indicate another meaning smeared with bhakti rasa to please the devotees. And thus, by doing that, I will make all the elements of jnana that are unfavorable for bhakti, favorable for bhakti, by including them in bhakti. In this way, Sukadeva thought. Right? So, So all these aspects of jnana that are not connected to the Lord, he'll show how they connect. So then it'll be useful in using in support of as the secondary means to support bhakti. Right?
Yes.
Like that.
Well, it is a great teaching.
Yes. The Lord beyond the gunas is pleased with his devotees who serves him. He is angry at those who harm the devotees. The pleasure and anger of the Lord are Shuddha Sattva. Brahma is an example of attaining good fortune from the Lord's pleasure. He is the cause of the sadhana and sadhya, bhakti and prema. The devotees should strive for this. The cause of destruction of sadhana and sadhya is the Lord's anger. One should strive to avoid this. This is the conclusion of the Purana. So you try to please the Lord, everything goes nicely, you avoid displeasing the Lord. Right, so we see as those who please the devotees, you know, and serve him, then he's happy with that. And those who harm devotees and that, then he's not happy. One may ask, if Sukadeva Goswami completed the Purana, why do we consider that first canto and the remaining of the 12th canto part of the Bhagavatam? Mm-hmm. The answer is, just as the preliminary and concluding portions of a sacrifice are also called the sacrifice, or the introduction to the drama and the blessings at the end of a drama are part of the drama, so the beginning and concluding parts of the Bhagavatam are considered part of the Bhagavatam. Consider the following statement. One should recite the Gita. What is the necessity of any other scripture when the Gita emanates from the lotus mouth of the Supreme Lord? Gita Mahatmya 4. Though all 18 chapters of the Gita were not completely spoken by the Lord, they are said to be spoken by him in this statement. Mm-hmm. Similarly, through the last part Though the last part of the 12th canto was not spoken by Sukadeva Goswami, it is also said to be spoken by him. This is the conclusion.
Yes.
Right? Because it's spoken by his disciple.
Yes, yes. Okay. So it is the same level, Maharaj.
Yes, it's the same level. That's why it's considered, that's why Vyasadeva wrote that the presentation for us of the Bhagavatam is the description of Sutta Goswami.
Yes.
Because it has this introduction, it has this conclusion.
Yes.
Then we'll get more benefit.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yes. Sukadeva Goswami continued, O King, give up the animalistic mentality of thinking, quote, I am going to die, end quote. Unlike the body, you have not taken birth. There was not a time in the past when you did not exist, and you are not about to be destroyed. Footnote 7. Vriti, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Bhagavad Gita 2:12. Sukadeva Goswami continued, you will not take birth again in the form of your sons and grandsons. Oh, okay. Yes, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Previously, Maharaj Parikit said, the Brahmanas and Ganga Devi should know that I am surrendered and have dedicated my heart to the Lord. Let the snake released by the Brahmana, even if it is an imposter, bite me. Please sing topics concerning the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:19-15. Since Parikit had promised to dedicate himself to hearing Bhagavatam, he could not be accused of having animal intelligence. Thus, these teachings on jnana are not meant for Parikit, but for others who have animal intelligence. Since Parikit is his disciple, he addresses him, though it is meant for others. Similarly, Krishna addresses Arjuna in the Gita, though the teachings are meant for all people. The discrimination is described. Your body did not exist previously. Now it exists, and in the future it will be destroyed. But you are not born, and you were not previously non-existent, nor will you die. You are Jivatma, different from the material covering. This statement is not unfavorable for bhakti. Right? So, in other words, those aspects of jnana that are not unfavorable, those are useful for if we have this animalistic consciousness. It will help us go beyond that. But the point is bhakti doesn't require it.
Yes.
It's we're the one who requires it.
Yes.
So, yes. Those aspects of jnana that are not favorable, those are dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Sukadeva Goswami continued, you will not take birth again in the form of your sons and grandsons, like a sprout taking birth from a seed and then generating a new seed. Rather, you are entirely distinct from the material body and its paraphernalia. In the same way that fire is distinct from its fuel. Right? So fire is different from the wood. Right? In a dream, one can see his own head having his own head being cut off and thus understand that his actual self is standing apart from the dream experience. Right? Because otherwise you wouldn't be there watching that. Similarly, while awake, one can see that his body is a product of the five material elements. Therefore, it is to be understood that the actual self, the soul, is distinct from the body it observes and is unborn and immortal. Right? So the soul is observing the body, you're distinct from that body.
Mm-hmm.
When a pot is broken, the portion of sky within the pot remains as the element sky, just as before. I mean, it's no different. Right? So the point was it was sky before, and after you break it, it's still sky. Not that it merges into the sky and all that kind of nonsense. But it always was sky. There was never any difference before. In the same way, when the gross and subtle bodies die, the living entity within resumes his spiritual identity. The material bodies, qualities and activities of the spirit soul are created by the material mind. That mind is itself created by the illusory potency of the Supreme Lord, and thus the soul assumes material existence. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, the method of how the covering consisting of the body, made of maya, is produced is described. In order that it can be destroyed by knowledge, the mind creates the body of the Atma. So understanding that, then you can reverse the process.
Yes.
Right? That's why these points are being made.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? So in other words, if I'm attached to material things, that produces my entanglement. By giving up that attachment, you will get rid of that entanglement. But what's the way to actually successfully do that? It's through bhakti. So in other words, if I absorb myself in the Lord, then automatically the material entanglement is destroyed.
Yes.
We don't have to separately endeavor for it.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
You don't have to separately try to control the mind. You just engage the mind in Krishna's service.
Mm-hmm.
Then automatically it's controlled.
Yes.
Right?
Cool. And everybody can do that.
Yes, and everybody can do
that. It's not, we don't need special material qualifications.
No, that's the whole point. Because we're using the qualification of the soul.
Yes.
Okay. The soul, you know, in illusion, then thinks it's the body and all that, but it's not. So the soul can at any time use the spiritual position.
Yes.
Right? But we don't know about it until we come in contact with the devotees.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right? And hear from the spiritual authorities.
Yes.
Right? Sukadeva, okay. At the quote, at the time of death, according to the thinking, feeling, and willing of the mind, which is involved in fluid of activities, one receives a particular body. In other words, the body develops according to the activities of the mind. Changes of the body are due to the flickering of the mind, for otherwise the soul could remain in its original spiritual body. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.1.42. So we have an original spiritual body. Right? It's just that you could there, but you don't because of this transformation of the mind.
Yes.
Right? We become attached to the secondary, so yes. Therefore then we get a material body. And the maya creates the mind. From all these upadis, or limitations starting with maya, samsara of the jiva takes place.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's an illusion, because you don't see them connected to the Lord. So all the upadis in which we are attracted, that's what then creates the material existence.
Mm-hmm.
Sukadeva Goswami continued, a lamp functions as such only by the combination of its fuel, vessel, wick, and fire. Similarly, material life, based on the soul's identification with the body, is developed and destroyed by the workings of material goodness, passion, and ignorance, which are the constituent elements of the body. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. An example is given. The transformation of light into a flame takes place by oil, a vessel, a wick, and application of fire. Oil represents karma. The vessel represents the mind. The wick represents the body. Fire represents the imposition of consciousness. The lamp represents samsara. Right? So the whole thing together. Samsara, bhava, related to accepting a bhava, a body, deha kritaha, arises and disappears by the actions of the gunas. Right? So then, when we become absorbed in this by the consciousness, right, we apply that fire to the, then that karma, everything is then burning and all these things.
Yes.
But you change the consciousness, then where's the material position?
Yes.
Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami continued, the soul within the body is self-luminous and is separate from the visible gross body and invisible subtle body. It remains as the fixed basis of changing bodily existence, just as the ethereal sky is the unchanging background of material transformation. Right? So the soul is always there, unchanged. And so in the background, in the foreground, then by the mind, then we have the transformations of the body and various bodies.
Yes.
Therefore, the soul is endless and without material comparison. My dear King, by constantly meditating upon the Supreme Lord, Vasudeva, and by applying clear and logical intelligence, you should carefully consider your true self and how it is situated within the material body.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he starts with the one, and then he brings it to the other. starts with the aspect of jnana and then brings it to bhakti.
Yes.
The snake bird Takshaka, sent by the curse of the Brahmana, will not burn your true self. The agents of death will never burn such a master of the self as you, for you have already conquered all dangers on your path back to Godhead. You should consider, I am non-different from the absolute truth, the supreme abode, and that absolute truth, the supreme destination, is non-different from me. Mm-hmm. Right? It means that we attain that position. That's the situation we are. Thus, resigning yourself to the Supreme Soul, who is free from all material misidentifications, you will not even notice the snake bird Takshaka when he approaches with his poison-filled fangs and bites your foot.
Yes. Right?
So you won't even notice. It's not that it's not there, just you'll be unaffected. Nor will you see your dying body or the material world around you, because you will have realized yourself to be separate from them. Beloved King Parikit, I have narrated to you the topics you originally inquired about, the pastimes of Lord Hari, the supreme soul of the universe. Now what more do you wish to hear? Conclusion. By constantly meditating upon the Supreme Lord, Vasudeva, and by applying clear and logical intelligence, one should carefully consider one's true self and how it is situated within the material body. Right? But you see, is then he takes that is so you have to see it connected to Krishna.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jaya Nitya Gaura Prabhupada ki.